The European Union gives Britain a new Brexit deadline, but issues a warning.
Let me finish with a message to our British friends. Please do not waste this time.
And Uber aims for an IPO valuation that's below expectations. Plus, a request for President Trump's tax returns stalls. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our big story this morning, the EU's decision to give the UK more time to come up with a Brexit deal, here's what you missed overnight. Just hours after shares in Lyft hit a new low, we report that rival Uber is aiming for a valuation that's below many investor expectations. The company is hoping to price its shares at between $48 and $55, which would give it a valuation of between $90 and $100 billion. That might seem like a lot, but it's below the $120 billion its bankers had initially sought. And you may remember that a few days ago, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin appeared in front of a House panel. There, he acknowledged the receipt of a request by the ranking Democratic member on the House Tax Committee to release President Trump's tax returns.
I want to acknowledge that we did receive the request. And as I've said in the past, when we received the request, it would be reviewed by our legal department, and it is our intent to follow the law. And that is in the process of being reviewed.
Now, we're reporting that the request has stalled. In a letter released late yesterday, Mr. Mnuchin said the request raises serious issues about whether the committee has a legitimate legislative purpose. And South Korea's ban on abortion has been ruled unconstitutional in a historic court decision. Under the nearly seven decades-old rule, a woman who got an abortion could be fined or imprisoned except in cases of rape or risk to their health. South Korea was one of the few developed countries to criminalize abortion. Now, our main story this morning. After an emergency summit, the EU agreed to UK Prime Minister Theresa May's request for a delay to the UK's exit from the European Union. Now, British politicians have until October 31st to come to an agreement on the terms of a Brexit divorce deal. Here with me to explain just what this delay means is our reporter Jason Douglas. Now, Jason, we were expecting that the EU would approve the UK's request for a delay. Was this the timeline that Mrs. May was hoping for?
Not quite. This is a classic EU fudge. So there were sort of two camps at the European Council. One led by Angela Merkel, who were very much arguing for a long extension, so perhaps as much as a year up until next March to give the Brits plenty of time to sort things out. And then a second faction led by President Macron in France, who argued for a much shorter extension, thinking that, you know, you could really force a solution if there wasn't too much time. So what they've come up with is kind of a fudge. So the extension they've agreed is to the end of October. So Halloween will be the deadline for the UK this time round. Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the UK, is very much hoping to be able to leave before then. So they've agreed that if she can get the withdrawal package she's already negotiated with the EU finally ratified by the British Parliament somehow, then they can leave pretty much soon after that.
But this is the withdrawal agreement that's already been rejected three times, is it now?
That's right, three times. But we still expect something to come back for Parliament to approve. So what's happening at the minute is Theresa May is in negotiations with the Labour Party, her main political opponents, and she's hoping to be able to come up with a slightly changed Brexit plan that can command bipartisan support.
Practically, what does this delay mean for people living in the UK? You wrote a story a few days ago about hoarding in the UK. Are people still going to be stocking up?
Yeah, I mean, people are just in limbo. It's particularly bad for businesses who, as you say, some of whom are having to stockpile lots of stuff just to avoid the possibility of disruption, or to make sure they can manage a disruption that it doesn't occur. So the possibility of disruption has just moved back 6 months or whatever it is. What businesses want is just certainty, right? I mean, every time you speak to an executive, they say, I don't really, you know, they have their personal preferences. They don't really mind for the business, you know, how this whole thing is resolved. But they just want it resolved one way or another. And this just extends that period of uncertainty further. So yes, it'll probably mean people will still have to keep stockpiling. It'll probably mean people will still have to spend money on Brexit preparations that they could otherwise spend in something else, like hiring people or investing in their business. I was listening to Caroline Fairburn, who's the head of the CBI, the big British business organization, this morning, and she was saying, you know, people feel like they're just burning money, right? That's how she put it. You know, this is cash that could be used to grow the economy effectively, and instead it's just being put to work preparing for Brexit, which really, as you began by saying, the referendum was more than 2 years ago now, and it should really be sorted out.
You can find more information about the new Brexit timeline and the little-known lawmakers behind Brexit on WSJ.com. On to markets. Keep an eye on Bed Bath & Beyond when U.S. markets open. Shares were down nearly 11% in after-hours trading after the company reported earnings that disappointed investors. They're worried that Bed Bath & Beyond has failed to keep up with rivals like HomeGoods, Walmart, and Target. Here's what else our columnist Nate Taplin is watching today.
Stocks in Shanghai were down sharply Thursday morning by more than 1%, following a strong inflation reading for March. Investors think that means that the People's Bank of China might ease monetary policy less than they had previously thought. The head of the statistics office at the central bank earlier in April did say that further cuts to banks' required reserve ratios might stoke inflation or a renewed real estate bubble if the economy was already stabilizing. Still, some of the uptick is likely seasonal.
And now, the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. The company that owns the National Enquirer, American Media, has said that it's exploring a sale of the tabloid. Now, you may remember that the National Enquirer has been at the center of hush payments to women who alleged that they had affairs with President Trump. But even still, sales of the Enquirer have been in steep decline for years. The tabloid had weekly average sales of 218,000 in the 6 months that ended December. That's down 41% from 2015.
T-10, 9.
Ever since I was 5 years old, that's when Neil Armstrong stepped onto the surface of the moon. I've been passionate about space, rockets, rocket engines, space travel.
That is the voice of Jeff Bezos talking about his love of outer space. It's a fascination that led him to found space firm Blue Origin 10 years ago. Now, we're reporting today that the company has expanded dramatically in the past few years as it looks to be a player in the lucrative market for government and commercial business. Today, the company employs more than 2,000 people at 5 different sites, including a launch facility in West Texas. That's where its new Shepard crew capsule is scheduled to bring its first passengers to the edge of space later this year. And prosecutors are planning to file criminal charges against the Brazilian mining firm Vale and its employees. That will be over the deadly collapse of a mine waste dam in January, which killed around 300 people, which is the worst mining disaster of this type in nearly 50 years. The prosecutor heading the probe told us that investigators have gathered enough evidence to affirm that Vale employees directly involved in the operation of the mine knew that the dam was unsafe. Finally, in a handful of fossilized teeth and bones, scientists say they found evidence of a previously unknown human species. The species lived in what is now the Philippines about 50,000 years ago. The discovery deepens the mystery of an era when the world was a melting pot of many different humankinds on the move. Before you go, we'd love to hear your feedback on our new format. Tweet us at WSJ Podcasts or email us at whatsnews@wsj.com. That's What's News from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening. Now get to work.